opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Okay, Mike. 10 points. Recognize the tune. No, okay.
Well, I've heard it before, but...
Yeah, all right. Van Halen.
Oh, Van Halen.
Oh, and that's, you know, I'm an 80s guy.
There you go.
I graduated.
Good evening, Northern California. It's,
he's got the mic that wants to run away.
Yeah.
The spring is loaded.
Yes, Mike will tame the mic.
You got it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Will got it.
There
yours
you go.
Is alive, mate.
Yes.
Mike, meet Mike.
Yes. Hey, guys, this is Nigel and James, and we have Yvonne. And we have our special guest, Mike Gallagher, with us. And check this out, James. I'm going to get it right. It's May 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 200 degrees outside.
Give or take.
Finally.
I've spoken as somebody from Europe.
Only studio temperatures?
Yeah, that is obviously incorrect. Yes, I think it's 93 outside.
This says it's 68.
And
in the studio.
For those of you new to the area, it's going to be like this until, October.
Right.
And there'll be plenty of times where it's over 100. Hmm. But now we're back into the normal weather.
I see some 80s and 70s, high 70s, low 80s.
Yeah, I don't believe
popping in and out here over the next week.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
It's misinformation.
So how's it been going with you guys?
Us? There's a lot going on. We've just got a lot of fish in the frying pan.
Right?
Yeah.
See, we were just talking about fish and chips.
That's right.
So we have with us a special guest, Mike Gallagher. Say hello, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Mike is current mayor for the city of Anderson.
We love Anderson.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's why we wanted to have you on.
Were you appointed or voted in?
I was voted in by the council.
Okay.
But it's a rotational thing.
Hand count or machines?
Good question.
Well, you're going to
I feel the bait. He's fishing. He's fishing. You might catch something. Be careful.
It was a finger point.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, nowadays you got to ask.
The eyes had it. Yeah. It was verbal.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's
I remember you back
honor.
In the day when you were just a little wee boy.
Yeah.
Up on the roof.
Trudging around with my tool bag.
Yeah, sweating to death with a tool bag, making the rest of us comfortable. Those were the good days.
Yes. in more ways than one. Yeah, yes.
So no. For those who don't know Mike Gallagher, why don't you give us a little background on...
You as a person.
Yeah.
You as a person, yeah.
Were you born here?
I was born in Corning, California, raised in Los Molinos. Very thankful for small-town upbringing. And
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, just 40 miles south, and love to, we back then you could hunt and fish, and, you know, we didn't have the restrictions we have today. But
without a permit?
I still, no, you had to pass your hunter safety course, and at 12 years old, I had my own shotgun and was able to go and hunt. So,
mm-hmm.
But, just love.
And how old are you now?
The outdoor. I'm 50, 58.
58. And so how many, with your little 12-year-old hunting license and your shotgun, have you had any experience with mass shooting or anything like that?
I have not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so checking.
So we're just checking.
Yes. Yeah. So there's another bait for me of all that. No, really going
I'm
after
I'm
it.
I'm trying to help you out here.
You'll get about seven. You'll get about seven before the hour's
seven
open. So that was two down.
Okay, two
five
down.
To go.
I'm on your side, Mike.
All right. Yes. That's too funny because I was thinking about that before I got in the truck. I was thinking about that.
And that's not something to laugh about. That's
no, this is so, yeah. This is a.
My point is that there are a lot of really great people that have gun experience from the time they were young in certain places where you grow up, right?
Yeah.
And you learn to be responsible and take care.
Yeah. And Hollywood's blown that out of the water, unfortunately. I could go off on that, but we won't because we love Anderson. We're going to talk about Anderson, hopefully. But, enjoy being outdoors. Love to hunt and fish. Love living in the North State. I came to Redding in 1986 and other than a short, about a year and a half in Chico in, for a job, came back and have been here ever since. Moved to Anderson in 2013. Appointed to the Planning Commission in 2014 when Baron Browning was elected. He asked if I would sit in there, and then...
And this was not in your necessarily your plan, politics?
Wasn't in my plan. we know who's ultimately in control, and it apparently was in his plan. So, you know, just trying to be obedient to that. But have really enjoyed, and it's just been a real honor to serve Anderson, the people of Anderson, the city, in a role that I was that guy that used to complain about politics a lot and politicians, and, you know, had a very strong opinion about that, and but would... Never back then.
If you go to a Board of Supervisors meeting, you'll see a lot of people complaining about politics.
Yeah, they should run for office. They should
have, you know, exactly right.
Run a campaign.
Give it a shot.
Just wait. What the heck? And you know what? It's the system. And I, you know, whether I agree with somebody or not, I am thankful that people are stepping up and taking their 3 minutes, because that's all they get, to at least share their views. Mm-hmm. I don't have to agree, but that's the system we have. I'm not sure we should change it, wholesale change to the system. It does allow for some participation, so I'm thankful for that. But it unfortunately has, I think it has a strong tendency to divide us into, you know, a couple groups, and that's unfortunate. We'd do a lot better when we meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So when did you run your first campaign?
So that was just this last election cycle. My story there is I got appointed to the Planning Commission, and then four and a half years later, Norma Komnick had ran an election and won, but then about 6 months into that, she got very ill and could not fulfill her role, and so they asked if I would throw my hat in the ring, and they appointed me to the council. So then 3.5 years on the council as an appointed, and then ran a campaign, got elected, and... Here I am. So I got.
And for those of you that know and have been around forever, I mean, Gallagher is a name that, you know, rings throughout Northern California. So yeah. You, for a long time, were in the heating and air business, right? Yep. Was that your brother's business?
That's my brother's business. He started it with a 5-gallon tool bucket and an old truck. And
Gallagher is like world famous in that arena here in the North State, and you worked with him for years.
Had a couple stints with my brother. Yeah, worked for some other companies. Yeah. I was a mechanic, so I moved around a little bit. But 13 and a half years as a HVAC mechanic. So.
Yeah. So you have at least that to fall back on, because guaranteed you're going to need, somebody's going to need air work.
Well, back when Market Street had a roof on it, I heat stroked out one afternoon up there because it was hot, as Nigel was alluding to. Yeah, it was my one and only time I heat stroked, but that was very interesting. So there's that.
Well, I would think the AC business in this area would be a good business to be in.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the sense that you have lots of customers, but I think it's probably pretty, I would say it's got to be at least a little cutthroat.
I think any solid business just takes a lot of work, you know, and HVAC is no different. You know, you got to be willing to work.
Consistent marketing.
And so
my brother is famous for that.
That's what you guys did, yes.
We get the mail-ins all the time.
Yeah, my brother's actually the famous one. I just served the city of Anderson, so there's that.
So I like to ask this people who run for office, when was there a transition for you? Do you feel like you went from private to politician? Do you feel yourself being a politician now? Or do you feel yourself being just still the regular guy? Or is there was there a shift for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think for a second. I try to avoid the whole politician thing at all costs. But that being said, let me answer it this way. There is a transition, and it's a fairly steep learning curve coming out of the private sector and going into the public sector. It's different, and I've said this multiple times. It's just very different. The way things operate, the speed at which things happen is incredibly slow. You're all business people. You know, if you ran your private company like that, you'd fail. So there's that challenge.
And that in itself is like what baffles me about how then politicians and the government can continue to work that way. Like that it's not, you know what I mean? That there isn't a level of a standard that needs to be met because there's so much money involved at every single level, right? Oh. That nobody's ever held accountable for.
We're getting a hint.
Oh, I hear the hint.
The hint is because he can see that I'm going off the rails. No, it's our first break.
We'll be back 2 minutes.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Well, you got that one right. And we're back. Good evening, Nigel and James. May 17th, 200 degrees.
And so let me just jump really quick back on my soapbox as I was ranting at the commercial. Yes. Why are they allowed to do that? Why are they allowed to run at that horrid pace, spend so much money, have no accountability, when the rest of us would be fired or lose our business or whatever? From your perspective.
From my perspective.
And hi, this is Mike Gallagher. He's the current mayor of Anderson.
Yeah.
Let me lick the back of my hand.
So, here's a dangerous answer to that as an elected. I think that I'm the example that the guy that just didn't pay attention for a long, long time. And we voted. Yeah. And people got elected, and then they were able to do what they wanted to do with the money. Yvonne laughed when I brought up the high-speed rail. You know, how in the world did that happen?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing too.
No, it is.
Get me started.
Yeah, so I mean, there, I pitched the lure back to you there. Nigel's been trying to bait me the whole time. That being said, I'm believing that we're coming to a season where, we're coming into a season where you're going to see a lot more engagement, and it's being exposed. If you're paying any attention at all, there's a lot of exposure happening, and that's going to be a large part of the fix.
Hmm.
And then accountability along the way and, you know, kingdom-minded people that are willing to step up and say, I'll run for office and get in there and do things in a righteous manner.
You see, there's a few kingdom-minded people who just got elected, and you know, it's almost like the establishment does not want you lifting up the rug.
Of course.
Well, that's all right. The rug's coming up.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah. And I sit on a couple of boards.
He looks
and
like
I'm
a rug lifter.
Well, I'm willing to call out the high-speed rail and... Mm.
Yeah.
Even in groups that may or may not want to hear about that, how it's going to rob us from our local dollars to for transit. You know, yeah. How much is it going to cost to run that thing?
Well, I think it's
if they ever build it.
Isn't it, are we already $100 billion invested into something we won't probably ever see?
I'm not sure. I read through a bunch of the 2023 report on that, and we're going way long on that. But there is, I don't know what the number is, and they're not really forthright with telling us exactly what they spend, but they started with a $9 billion bond. And if I'm not a big fan of bonds, but I was thinking about this on the way up here. You know, bonds cost us about double, right?
Yeah.
You get, so they started with a $9 billion bond that's going to cost the taxpayers $18 billion, right? Just real money. So there's the start. They've allocated now $35.5 billion to $38.5 billion, somewhere in there. I'm close on the numbers. So don't quote me exactly, but we're somewhere in that range just to finish the Merced to Bakersfield section, which is not even close to the whole rail. And, and they're talking about 3,500 millions that they don't, you know, they're giving themselves some leeway on. You know, we could use a little bit of that road money in.
Oh, 100%.
Anderson, just saying.
I mean, I think there's plenty of places. And I think what's also interesting is they just passed.
And then did you see what, obviously, Mother Nature did with us this lovely rain this year?
Yeah.
But boy, she really took it out of our roads. There, like, I drive around Reading, and it is literally like the roads are just crumbling.
And that is, I love Reading too.
That's what
so I'm going to. Whenever okay, there's so off of that one,
a little pressure, he's. I love Anderson.
Let's talk about Anderson because I always find it very interesting. When I moved to Reading 13 years ago, and there's Anderson and then Shasta Lake City, and it's almost like it's kind of hard to pinpoint that relationship sometimes, right? Because every time I'm in Anderson, I always feel like okay, there's something here that I'm missing. Like there's something. There's something here that either a potential or I'm not wording it right, but that relationship between Reading and Anderson I find very interesting.
Yeah,
and
it's getting better.
It is getting better.
I love that.
Good. Yeah. So what are the plans? What are the ideas for Anderson?
Well, Anderson has just in the last year, if I can answer it with what we've
done.
Seen. Let's do that a little bit because I made some notes. And,
good AC. I get that.
Yeah, we got so new businesses coming to town. We've NorCal Rental and Trailers. They're a Kubota dealer. They're the homeowners, you know, kind of do-it-yourself guy place to shop, and they've got a beautiful new facility. They went top-notch. Super glad they came down from Reading, and they're great people. They moved their home. They live there now. They work there, and we're super grateful they're here. And a business like that does that, you know, I'm not afraid to say it now as a politician. I say that's really good for our business because it generates revenues and we don't operate without them. So thankful for that. We got the second Maverick gas station in California was built in Anderson. The first one was in Oroville. They beat us to the punch by a couple months, but good for them. But super excited about that. They're a huge gasoline chain. People that travel throughout the Western Seven know about them.
They are?
Yeah, huge.
Where did I see one? The name sounds
familiar. Oroville, he just told you.
Did you go on the 70? If you went through Oroville, there's one right off the main road. You'll see it. But
weren't we just there just the other day?
Yeah.
So maybe that's where I saw it.
It's an awesome place.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Beautiful facility. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful facility, clean, nice. Yes, I love it.
Super great people. I thought, wow, that's really...
They're knocking it out of the park.
And then yours is the one that's in Anderson right there that was just built, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Just I saw that. That's probably what I saw. Yeah. I just thought, gosh, that's so bright, shiny, and new and clean. And I was like,
don't you remember when you were in Denver, you saw that?
No. Yeah. So, yeah, Quick Quack Car Wash. They built 124 facilities in the last couple of years, and they chose Anderson to build a car wash. You know, it's beautiful. So, Papey Kenworth is out there, Sunbelt Rentals. You know, we've just got these great companies that are coming to town. But you don't, you know, the Maverick you see, the Quick Quack you'll see, but, you know, Sunbelt and Papey, they're off the beaten path a little bit, but we're thankful they're within the city limit, and we're grateful they're there. So, really good stuff. Nigel, I think the interesting thing about your original question is, you know, to break the myth that the old saying was it's 10 miles from Anderson to Reading, but it's 100 miles from Reading to Anderson. It's still only 7.5 yeah. both ways, by the way, just to let people in on the secret. You know, it's only 7.5 miles.
And I will tell you, as the development happens, right,
oh, yeah.
they put in
yeah.
all the that whole little stretch there of, what is it, the motorhomes, you mm-hmm. know, those things.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
When there's gap, there's fill-ins, or like, yeah. it makes it seem like it's so much shorter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You almost feel like you never left yeah. one or the other, right?
I mean, now like, there's reasons to come to Anderson, mm-hmm. and just what the city's been able to do, you know, we built a splash pad, and it's an amazing facility, and it's open on weekends now, and it's going to go 7 days a week on Memorial Day weekend, I believe on the 26th, but go to our website to check that. And that's a 10 to 10, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Wow.
And it's yeah. lighted, so at night it's super cool.
10 p.m.
Yeah,
we need to get a photographer out there.
Yes.
That would be fun.
I actually might put my suit on and do that.
Oh,
once the sun once the sun goes down.
It's, you should, because it's amazing.
Well, at least
it
you
really
keep your suit on.
Burn
let's
keep, all the
let's keep your suit on, James.
I don't burn all the children's retinas with my reflective.
Yeah,
it would be the shortest-lived splash pad.
But it's amazing and it's free, right? Just wow. come and use it. We don't charge yeah. for that. We're gonna be building a new playground next to that to mm-hmm. to kind of highlight and facilitate, or you know, because that thing gets filled
yeah.
up, and
oh, yes.
it's beautiful because we're pulling not single moms, but moms with kids. They're coming out of Reading to come to Anderson because it's safe. We've got great police department, and we'll talk a little bit more about that
wonderful
maybe later. And then just. You know, we've got coming up, I wore my Mosquito Serenade shirt June 7th, 41st season of the Mosquito Serenade in the Anderson River Park, which we're pretty
amazing.
Darn proud of. 10 acts a year. Opening act starts at 6. We have main show at 7. That's 400 shows that they've pulled off in that little park. And
plenty of mosquitoes this year.
The beauty is if there's a slight breeze, there's no mosquitoes.
Yeah. Are the food trucks up and running?
No.
Okay.
But we do have a couple of vendors, Kiwanis, which I'm a part
of.
No.
And I know that. I just didn't know if they had ever, because, you know, we do movies in the park and then we had that accident and we had to stop. But, you know, for a while, I mean, since the beginning, for almost 15 years, we've come out to, we use the amphitheater as our base to show movies in the park.
Well, you have to see the improvements we've done. Front end is all brand new, much higher, big. I will tell you, it's impressive. It's pretty cool. And
well, I can go check it out because, I mean, if you guys haven't changed the locks, I have all the keys.
Excellent.
I have the keys to the city.
Come on in.
he loves Anderson.
I love Anderson.
Me too.
So the one thing I was, I would ask people in Anderson what's missing in Anderson, some of the people that we all know, and they would always say restaurants.
Yeah.
Places to eat.
Absolutely.
So is that also something that's changing or we're working on it? Do we need... disgruntled restaurant owners from here to go down down to Anderson.
We're pretty excited. Cinders and Taste and See is coming. They're going to build their facility. They had some other plans, but they're going to open up a facility right there next to Burrito Bandito, and we're excited about that coming. Charlie's is great. It's across the river. It's not in the city, but you know, out at Tucker Oaks there. Mm-hmm. There's some good food out there.
4 minutes away.
So, yeah, I go. It's right around the corner for me. So, but yes, the answer is yes. Everybody says, you know, we need a really good steakhouse, you know, and I agree. What we need is private investment for that, right? The city doesn't use taxpayer dollars to build stuff like that. So what we really need is those people with vision that can go, you know what, we could do this and in 4 or 5
what's
years
the,
we're going to see this.
What's the current official population of Anderson?
We're bumping 11,000. I think it's 10,9 or something within the city boundary. So, but we pull about 70,000. We pull from about a 70,000 person population.
Well, if I have to go to Walmart, I drive to Anderson.
Yeah.
Do you go to Walmart?
Yeah.
Well, I have to from sometimes to time to get things that I can only get there or that are much, much cheaper when it comes to like my medical devices or whatever.
Yeah.
But I drive all the way to Anderson.
So I'm assuming Walmart is the business in town?
We're thankful for Walmart, right? They generate a lot of tax revenue, so we are grateful for them.
But that whole center, that whole area,
it's
a thing now, right? Like, because you can get food, even though it's chain food, and you get your Dutch Bros and your Starbucks.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like a thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Sonic.
Sonic.
Yeah,
Sonic
there you there. Go.
Yvonne, you have a very interesting smile when you said that. I like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's the thing that I'm seeing and learning as an elected is it takes time. Mm-hmm. You know, we when the mills shut down, and you've heard, everybody's heard this a dozen times, but it's the truth. When the mills shut down and things started leaving, we lost population, we lost business, we lost a lot of things that those were supporting, and it just takes time to rebuild that in a different base. So we're still hopeful for U.S. offsites to come and build their manufacturing facility.
I was going to ask what 411 was on that.
I'm not sure exactly where they're at. Last I heard, it's still a possibility, and we're praying for it, and it's a game changer too. You know, it would be an amazing addition to our city. So, we're thankful for that.
But well, we've just reached our half mark.
Still
got some wind in your lungs for
I've
the next
got
half.
Lots of notes.
Almost
too.
Sounds okay. Like Metallica, but not quite. We'll be right back. 2 minutes.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
I have no idea who this is.
It's my jam.
It's good.
Who is it, James?
Hey, Nigel. Nigel, who's this?
No idea, mate.
It's a psychedelic
first. Psychedelic first.
There's no guitar. There's no guitars, so I give up.
It's synthwave. 80s synthwave.
This is what.
Very good.
This is where that was my. That's where I was molded and developed.
Yeah, sorry for the delay.
It makes so much sense.
Sorry for the delay in getting back, but everybody's kind of bopping and doing their thing. Mike Gallagher, mayor of Anderson. So we're talking about Anderson.
Yeah.
Right? I know you had some notes. I have a few more questions.
Okay.
Just because.
Well, you're in charge, so.
No. I'm just,
Mike was like, I didn't think I was going to get grilled on this thing.
I was pretty sure, actually.
Really? But you're the mayor now. You're a politician, you know.
You know, we answer questions.
It's one of those things. Like I already told you. Like every time I'm down in Anderson, I'm like, okay, there's something here that I'm missing. So I didn't know. Now I know. You know, it's 11,000 people, and you have all these businesses coming.
Yeah.
What's the real estate like in Anderson, let's say, compared to Reading? Similar, well, less?
That's a great question. I'm not a realtor. We have plenty of room to build, and we'd love development, and we have some development going on. We've got
So that's a good one. So there is room. You guys have plenty of room to expand.
Yeah, there's plenty of ground. Again, you know, something I learned is it's all privately held, so we can encourage. We help. Our second floor, our planning department is awesome, and we've got great people there, and we've upgraded technology, and we've done the things to make it a smoother system. So, you know, if somebody brings us a full set of plans, we can turn that right around. They can get going. So we're open for business. We want, that's part of the long-term plan that brings businesses. You know, the more rooftops you have, the more businesses you have.
Yep. Does Anderson have a business park, like Stillwater or Caterpillar? You guys don't have a...
We have a couple of privately held smaller business developments there where they're commercial. They're built in the commercial sector, and so they're an office and a warehouse, and there's four or five of those. There's a number of those. There's a new one being built. It's going over kind of on the...
Sierra Pacific is technically in Anderson. So
I just found out the other day, apparently their corporate office is, but the mill is actually in the county. So there's a line there.
interesting.
So we just started
We're thankful for Sierra Pacific. They're just great for our region.
Yeah. We just started the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce. Yes. We just did our soft launch, and we jumping in there. And one of the things that we're hearing quite a bit about is obviously, and now that we're digging into it too, is that the county is very difficult to work with. In certain aspects, especially with regards to permits and fees and, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff. I'm wondering if there's a difference between on a county level working in Anderson or starting something in Anderson as opposed to Redding.
Well, you know, I'm going to say just come to Anderson. Give it a try. I think... because we're a much smaller entity, let's just be honest, we don't have the size of the county that can be a hindrance. I want to say this. I flipped a house out in Happy Valley a number of years ago. They were great for me. I went in. I was respectful. Don't know what I'm doing. Just going to try to do this project. And they were super helpful. And I worked with just about everybody over about 9-10 months, unless it was a much larger project than I probably should have tackled at the time, but we got it done. But I had a great experience. That was in a season when there was some talk about there being challenges there. I didn't experience that personally, but we have worked hard to get our second floor to be able to turn jobs around and get people building. That's what we've
one of the main reasons why we started the Shasta County Chamber is because I feel that Shasta County as a whole, the whole county, is one of the most amazing spots.
I love it here
in the United States. All right, but the rest of the county seems to get overlooked, I believe. And obviously, I get it. There are plenty of pockets around Shasta County where there's not much infrastructure and not big business, right? But I think we kind of view that as an opportunity, right?
We should.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Shouldn't we?
I would say so. I mean, you know, if one would think. I mean, if you came up with the idea to start an online bookstore, I'd say, yeah, you may have a tough time with that because there's a few, right? Or if you decided to start a theme park next to Disneyland, you may have a hard time.
Yeah.
But here in Shasta County, it's like I view it like for people with a vision and obviously who want to invest. I view it as a blank canvas almost. Yeah.
No, I think there's if people have vision and some capital, I think there's endless possibilities here.
And if you have enough capital, you don't even need vision. You just keep throwing money at it.
You buy somebody with vision.
Well, yeah, you hire doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, let's say. You hire somebody with
there's
vision.
There's a great model that you can follow. That.
Oh, my God. Okay, Yvonne, time to rescue me
I'm
again.
Trying, yeah, I'm trying.
Jump in.
I'm giving him the evil eye.
Kicked my knee.
Well, that was only awesome. Five. I think we have two more left.
Okay, got two more attempts.
So what else you want to share was...
So, you know, what we have done is we did invest some money. We built a splash pad for $2 million, a little over $2 million, and it was a huge investment. But because we were solvent and our reserves were up, we had that capital to invest in something that then brings people to our city and to our park. And earlier you were alluding to what's missing. You know, we could spend some more time on that. But what's not missing is we have a premier park that's beautiful to be in. I live near it, so I walk the dog through there on a semi-regular basis. And I'm always fascinated how many people there are on Saturday mornings. It's just packed out and, it's amazing, and we've done that. We've invested that. We're going to continue to invest in that because that is kind of our crown jewel, you know, that does bring people to our city, and so we're thankful for that.
That leads to the – this is not a bait question, but this is like the topic of the year is the water, right?
Yeah.
Like what's the water situation in Anderson? Let's say, you know, somebody wants to start their agriculture business, right? I mean, now they're up against lots of regulations because of the quote-unquote lack of water. But we're hearing good things about Anderson,
though. Yeah, so all the studies are showing that we have about a 66-year aquifer that if we didn't get another drop, we could pump out of it for 66 years.
There you go. That's a big deal.
We don't use any surface water. We pump all our water out of the ground, out of the aquifer, and we have great water and it's relatively cheap. And so I think that, you know, we're in good shape and it's why they built the mills there, right? Mills use a lot of water and they had the foresight to go, yeah, Anderson's a great place to build these wood mills because they use a ton. So yeah, water wise, we're great. The challenge we do have, and I'll again call out the state, is this governor has done brushstroke policy across the state and not everybody's the same. We don't have a water issue in Anderson, but the problem for an entity like ours, when they put mandates on how much you can use, then our revenue goes down and we struggle to keep our water fund viable, right? Mm-hmm. So people cut back on usage, they pay for what they use, and then we see our ability to maintain that system shrinking. So that's a problem. When you don't have a water shortage, that's not okay.
And I always wonder how things work, right? So we have a ranch in Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. It has water rights. It's had water rights for literally forever, right?
Yeah.
We're right on the ACID canal.
Yeah.
The ACID canal actually comes to our property and then dives underground and goes all the way across Cottonwood Creek and then pops up on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
This last year was the first year that we did not receive a drop of water. They did not put any water into that. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, okay, so we have a river. It's flowing.
You put
water in the ACID canal and eventually gets back to the river, minus obviously the water that's been taken as it's been shared along the way and your dates and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then they say you can't have water. And what is the reason why you can't have water? Because the water needs to be – they say the water needs to get to the south.
Because a three-letter entity got to make a decision that affected thousands of people.
Because I'm like, what makes you more important than me to take the water?
It's called money, James. Especially it's called money. Follow the money.
Well, yeah, but I'm paying money. I mean, I have the right.
Yeah, but you're not paying enough money.
I am paying for my right.
Yeah, it was a very unfortunate situation.
I paid for my water rights and got no water.
Yeah. Mm. Well, those are the things that we have to stand together and fight against because that shouldn't have happened. We're all pretty aware, you know, hindsight's, you know, the rearview mirror is always helpful to see.
I mean, not that it shouldn't have happened, but you shouldn't be able to charge somebody for something that they can't have.
Well, there's that. Yeah. There's that.
That's a loaded
question. But they have their own board, and we don't have any purview over that, so I have to be careful about making, you know. But they were also handed a poor card to play with when the Department of Water Resources made their decision. So that was made above ACID and their board. That was that just flowed downhill. So, you know, again, you have policymakers at high levels that are –
I mean, I was ready
flying to desks, making decisions.
Get on my broom and start looking for the ditch witch.
Drill the well. We pump all our water out of the ground in Anderson. It's wonderful.
Anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah. So the other thing that's a big draw now is that we we repaved some tennis courts and created some pickleball courts, and they're lighted at night. So when all the redding, I've heard, I was talking to somebody that was deep into pickleball. I've never played, unfortunately, but
you wouldn't be
they
very
come
good.
Down to Anderson.
No,
I'm not bad in ping pong, but I can't hit a tennis ball to save my life. So there is that.
You might want to stay away from pickleball.
Yeah, there's that. I've watched the game, and I'm like, yeah, that's somewhere in between. Probably not for me, so I'll go hunt somewhere. So, but we're excited about that because it is drawing when the local courts, and there's a lot of people playing, get filled up. People come down to Anderson, and it's wonderful. Yeah. So
what about, do you guys have that Frisbee thing? Anywhere down there?
Yeah, we've got, in fact, I was walking in the park one morning. There was a bunch of cars by our Frisbee golf course.
Frisbee golf.
So I walked over and started chatting with the gal. Well, they've been doing it for like 18 to 20 years. They've been having, they have monthly tournaments. And she was telling me there's two players. I think there's a guy from Boston and there's a guy from Texas. And anytime they show up in the North State, they come to Anderson and play that course because it's that good. And I was like, "You're
awesome.
You're kidding me! Like, we need to market that. Like, right. Let's get on that."
He gave us the bird. It's like time for the next last break.
Yes. Okay,
last break.
All right,
we'll be right back.
We'll
2 minutes.
Share about public safety.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Walking on Sunshine? Yeah, there you go.
Good call.
Yep. Thank you very much, Chad Phillips, Vista Real Estate, for sponsoring our show this whole time.
No Katrina in the waves, no.
No. Mike Gallagher is with us, Mayor of Anderson. So now we're going to talk about public safety, and then we're going to talk about the most important topic, that's food.
Excellent.
So
I love it.
Let's get the public safety stuff.
Yeah, just thanks for that. We've a number of years ago, before my time, the citizens of Anderson passed a half-cent sales tax, and at least 50% of that was for public safety, and the remainder to other general fund needs like parks, and code enforcement, we've done exactly what we said we would do with the money, and we're going to continue to do that, and that's been a very effective.
Didn't take you long to say we.
We as a council, we as staff, we're working together on that. It's super important to us, and we want to honor what the voter wanted.
Well, I like that you think that way.
Yeah, it's important to me, and I'm thankful because I live in the city and I feel I benefit from that. So super grateful for that. We've 23 sworn officers in our 11,000 person population, which is a pretty good ratio to have for safety. We've got some bike guys coming up, and what's that?
I'm sorry, he's sitting over here because you said the half cent tax.
Yeah.
Is that annual or month?
He's over here doing it. He's like, that comes it's out to like five. Tax. He goes, that comes out to $5,000. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's a sales tax, James. Sales. It's not a half cent per person.
Yeah, seven and three quarter.
Like, $5,000. Yeah. Like, how do you run a police department off $5,000?
Oh, that was in addition to the sales tax. So what is your sales tax then?
It's a half cent higher than.
What it was? Seven and a half.
Yeah.
Probably seven and a half.
So.
Exactly. It's enough to get a great police department. That's what it is.
That is.
Yeah, I was doing math and I was like, wait a second.
Well, not only does it fund our incredible police department, and having 23 sworn is a huge deal. Wow. Like for many years we struggled to hire enough.
Yeah.
Budget was a problem. And so that's just been a really great addition. And we have a problem oriented police group that goes out when there's a problem, and they'll go do checks and get bad people off the streets, which I'm thankful for. And it's really, you know, one of the major outcomes is we just have a lot of public trust on that one.
Yeah.
We're advertising for a captain. It'll be the first time we've had a captain in our department in a long, long, long time. The position has been there, but now we can fund it.
So let me ask this question. Yeah. If you've run for a long time without a captain, what's the point of putting one in?
It's the most important thing I would say is succession. Planning.
Yeah.
You know, people don't stay forever. People retire and it's really, really important to get that kind of experience. I'm going to say a statement that I think there's been, because of budgets and a lot, there's been those key positions that people haven't funded.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're taking a lieutenant to chief. Mm-hmm. You know, we sent a sergeant over to Eureka and he's a chief. He went from sergeant to chief. I'm not saying they can't do the job. I'm a big fan of, you know, law enforcement, but those experiences of moving up the ladder is huge. Yeah. It's just huge every step of the way. So we're super grateful for that. And we're excited that we get to do that. So, so in decades, we were fully staffed, all the way through our command staff. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting because that's what we want to do. And we are working to see if we can build a new facility.
What's the Anderson City budget?
Anderson City is about 10. We run about a $20 million budget for both city and police. Police is about half of that, a little over half. So
20 million.
Yeah.
Chester County is $600 million. Still trying to do the math on that one.
Yeah.
They have a lot more to deal with than we do, so let's just be honest.
Yeah, there's always some stuff there.
Okay. I'm not going to go there. We don't have a housing department. We don't. You know, there's just a lot of things that the county is tasked with that you know, I get it. I think $200 million for Health and Human Services might be a little steep, though. Did that come out loud, Ivan? Shoot. I've got to watch what I say.
we usually like to ask our guests about food, and the reason why is because over the last 3 years, it's been an interesting time, right? And we've had a lot of people move out, right, because of all the stuff that came down the pike with the COVID stuff and the restrictions and all that kind of stuff. But we also had a lot of people move in, right? So we do have quite a few newbies in the neighborhood. And, you know, one of the things that get asked all the time, I'm sure you do too, I don't know, Reading Buzz gets asked the time, what's a good place to eat?
Yeah.
So in Anderson, what are some of your favorite places to go eat besides home?
Besides home. Charlie's does a good job. You know, they do a good pizza and they have a great burger. The whiskey burger is a pretty good one. So, and I'm a burger guy. So there's that. Oh gosh, what else?
You were saying Mulligan's.
Mulligan's is right across the river, so it's not necessarily technically in the city, but Mulligan's is doing a good job. Chef Josh out there has put together a very simple menu, but they do quality food and they do prime rib on Friday nights, I think. And I don't know their menu, but they do some special stuff. And
you need to start getting prepared for your bug burger.
My bug burger.
Insects.
Okay, we're down to one more. Hey, they've only got one more, Yvonne. I'm counting. I'm keeping track.
Oh man.
So,
well, let's think.
Be great in protein, though.
Oh, gosh.
change.
Mm. Anyways, so there's that. Bartels Burgers.
I was about to say Bartels. Bartels is a great.
And it's a known quantity. And
also, you've got a kaleidoscope that is on point.
Yes. Kaleidoscope.
I love that kaleidoscope down there. That was morning breakfast.
Yeah.
I was in Anderson this morning. I was like,
wasn't there an Italian place there for a while?
There was, but, you know, I think the owner who was kind of the main guy, he passed away, and the wife tried to keep it going. And
that would put a damper on
things. I think it's some Asian food in there now.
Okay.
It might be a Chinese food place. But
yeah, it's a Chinese restaurant.
I haven't been in there in a long time. So,
it's on my to-do list.
There's some, I think there's West Side Pizza up by Walmart.
I was about to say West Side Pizza is really good.
We don't eat a lot of pizza anymore, so there's that. When we do, we get a gluten-free crust at home because my wife's gluten-free, and then we go to the garden and get a bunch of stuff
there you
out
go.
And make it.
You also have a Sonic.
That's what we do.
I was going to say the Sonic.
Sonic.
Don't forget Yvonne's
the Sonic is actually a destination.
It is.
Quite a few people from Reading.
My boys go down there all
the time. Well, I think it's the closest Sonic Sacramento outside of Anderson. No quote me on that.
Yeah, and the next one's like in Medford or something.
I think so, something like that. So
it's kind of like when In-N-Out opened up.
Oh my goodness!
People drove down from Oregon.
Crazy. Well, that was I was about to say. When are you going to get In-N-Out in Anderson?
Well, not now because there's the second one is right there on.
That's right. It's over there by Save Mart.
Yeah.
They're all busy.
Yeah. They're all busy. That's what I'm saying. When you go there, they're always busy. It's like,
we've got a spot for them. Just send them. Send them our way. We'll find a spot.
Also, you have a good Arby's over there, too.
There is an Arby's. Yeah,
you have a good Arby's.
There's Arby's.
It's like the only Arby's over there, yeah.
I like Arby's. I like the horsey
sauce. I can't do fast food anymore. Any more local restaurants?
Yeah. Any more local restaurants? You know, I went out to Norm's in Palo Cedro. I heard all this talk about Norm's in Palo
Cedro. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my heavens. I was like, yeah baby. That'll work.
Incredible.
I'll see you.
I thought you guys were supposed to get a Baskin-Robbins.
You know, that felt
there
weird.
Was like a
there
big
was
sign and
they
everything.
Put the sign
and I was
up,
all
they
excited
did
all,
and they looked. They put real stuff forward. You know, they were gonna. Well, where Maverick is, there was a bank there that sat empty for years. Yeah. The U.S. Bank opened and then closed, and they were gonna remodel and do all that stuff. But it, you know,
the B of A building still for sale, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
Mike, I'll see your Norm's, and I will raise you Palo Cedro in. Because that was cool. These guys took me there, and I was like, that's one of my top five food experiences I've ever had. Yeah, that was neat. That was really cool.
And I've never been.
Because you get to cook yourself, right?
Yeah.
They give you a whole, there's a huge barbecue inside, and it's like you're at Logan's Roadhouse, and you're the cook, right?
Nice.
You smather butter and fire everywhere.
We almost burned the place down. I'm sitting there grilling stuff. James is throwing butter on everything. And it was great, though. It was a great experience. I loved it.
Well, I appreciate the question because it makes me go, there's a lot more places to grab a little food in Anderson than you might think. If you jump off the freeway, you can find some.
Rito Bandito does a great job. Yeah. And actually, I just need to look it up because I want to make sure.
And Players Pizza, who helped me on my campaign.
Is that donut ice cream
there.
Place still there, or is that gone?
Nope, that didn't make it. But we have Jack's Donuts, and they do a good
Jack's
donut. I don't eat a lot of donut, but they do a good job. So
that place was insane.
So, Mike, want to thank you for running and stepping up to the plate. Yeah. I like that you're a kingdom guy in government.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
I think so.
I think there needs to be more.
Yeah.
Government.
So I take it you feel pretty good about Anderson.
I do. I'm very grateful.
And where it's going?
Absolutely. We're on a good trajectory. I did want to, if I can, real quick on that. We've got a great team down at the park. All the guys and gals in orange shirts that do all the heavy lifting of all the maintenance, and you know, I'm super grateful. We got a great crew. We've got great staff. I'm always impressed. With the level of commitment and hard work, you know,
they've always been great to us for years and years and years. Movies in the park.
Just super grateful.
Here's the keys to the, you know, go for it. And everything's always clean and everything.
So if you haven't been down to Anderson or it's been a while, when is the Mosquito Serenade?
Starting June 7th, come on down, 5:30, 6 o'clock, grab a seat, come see the new band shell. It's super exciting.
Bandstand.
And it's free.
And it's free concert.
It's a free concert.
It's that's amazing.
Right.
And there's, you know, we had Pam Tillis as the final act last year. She was amazing. She did great. Yeah, it was fun.
Somehow I think it would be hard. I think it would be difficult to charge admission at the Addison River Park because there's too many
ways
too
in.
Many,
yeah.
ways
too
in
many ways out. In.
I'd swim across to the backside.
If it was,
I would pay money to see that one.
Walking on Sunshine? No, you wouldn't swim for Walking on Sunshine. No.
Hey, I got
that was my, one of my favorite songs back in the day.
That's a fun song.
I've got in the river anyway, many a night over there at the park.
So. Thank you very much, Mike, for coming in.
Good
Thank
job. For having me.
Love you.
Thanks so much. Love you, and, too. All right, appreciate it.
See you next week.
Come to Anderson.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.